We welcome this morning our online viewers. We thank you for being patient with us and waiting patiently for us to go live. Thank you for joining us. We'll be in John chapter 19 this morning. John chapter 19. And we will read verses 1 through 3. John 19, verses 1 through 3. This is the word of the Lord. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Last Sunday, we were in verse number 1 as I preached on the scourging of Jesus in a sermon titled, "By His Stripes We Are Healed." That can be found on YouTube, Facebook, sermon audio, or very easily, if you have downloaded that Church One app, you can very easily and quickly find it there. This morning, we continue to observe and consider the abuse of our Lord Jesus Christ here in the courts of Gabbatha. And I want to remind you, and we'll see a little bit of this morning, but I want to remind you that not all of the abuse of Christ can be found in John's gospel. To read all of the atrocities committed against Jesus, you must read the synoptic gospels, you must read Matthew, Mark, and Luke in order to get a full picture of all that took place as far as the abuse against Christ. The Bible says here that Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. We dealt with that last week. And then it says that these soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and then a purple robe on his back. And then they begin to mock him and say, "Hail the King of the Jews." The Roman soldiers took a strand, or several strands more likely, of thorns, and they formed and fashioned them into a circle, something like you see here this morning. And they made a makeshift crown. They braided and weaved a wreath of thorns, and they put it on the head of Jesus. This was obviously an act of torture. It was obviously an act of torture. Thorns of any kind are extremely painful when they puncture and tear away at the flesh. Anyone in this room who has come in contact with thorns knows how extremely painful they are. And honestly, it does not matter if they are an eighth of an inch or an inch. It doesn't matter their size. They are, for some reason, very, very painful as they puncture and tear away at the flesh. If you've ever been injured by thorns, you understand this. And you maybe could imagine what a circle of thorns jammed down on your head might feel like. Okay? I mean, anybody that is outdoors at all for any length of time runs into thorns. Whenever I mow, I'm dodging blackberry thorns. And more likely than not, they end up catching me and ripping my arms to shreds. Down on vacation this year, the little burrs, the little sand burrs with little thorns, and I'm telling you what, extremely painful. All of them, any thorn I've ever come in contact with, has hurt like the dickens, okay? And so, if you've been injured that way, I want you to, for a moment, think about what a string of thorns plaited like a crown and jammed on top of your head must feel like. The pain would be excruciating, and the blood from each puncture wound would have flowed down the face and down the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would have bled something terrible. Again, I say this based upon my interaction with thorns. Now, I did not watch Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. I did that by choice and by conviction. But I have in recent years, since that time, however long ago that was, I have seen pictures, and I've even seen brief clips of the movie. And I would say that Mel Gibson, as the director of that movie, created a better depiction of the abused body of our Lord Jesus Christ than any painter or sculptor that I have ever seen. You know that most any painting, most every painting that you've seen of Christ depicted on the cross, there's a one or two trickles of blood coming down. It's very sanitized. And I don't believe that what Mel Gibson did was right, and I did not watch the movie by conviction. But I've seen what he did in his film, and it's a closer depiction, I would believe, than all other painters have ever tried to create. This crown of thorns would have caused much pain, and it would have produced much blood. And then, over the bleeding back, remember we talked about that last week, they plowed his back. They plowed it deep with the scourgings. He gave his back to the smiters, and it wasn't 40 save one, it was who knows how many. And over that bleeding back, they placed a robe, and no doubt it rubbed up against the wounds, causing even more pain. This was not only an act of torment by the Roman soldiers, but it was an act of mockery. The thorns woven into a crown were placed and jammed down upon his head. In fact, we'll see later that they beat them down with the reed. But it was a mockery of his kingship. The purple robe was put upon him in a mockery of his kingship. The reed placed in his hand, or the bamboo weed placed in his hand, was a makeshift a scepter, like a king would have a scepter, and it was to mock his kingship. The chants and the bows of "Hail the King of the Jews" was a mockery of his kingship. "Hail King of the Jews," that would be another way of saying health to the King of the Jews, success to the King of the Jews, prosperity to the King of the Jews. It was a mockery. I think today they would probably classify this as mental and emotional abuse. They are laughing at him. They are making fun of him. They are making jokes at his expense. They are trying to make him look stupid, and they are trying to make him feel stupid. They are trying to get others to look at Jesus as though he is some type of idiot. It's not enough that they hurt him physically and that they torture and torment him physically. They must also humiliate him in front of others. Apparently, these Roman soldiers have been turned loose to do as they please. And the wickedness of their hearts knows no bounds. Christ here is suffering in every way. He is suffering greatly physically. And if you want to say it, he is suffering greatly mentally and emotionally. They are shaming him, mocking him, ridiculing him, scorning him. They are trying to make him feel stupid. The mockery, like most things surrounding this whole event, fulfills at least a couple of prophecies from the Old Testament scriptures. Isaiah 53:7, we read it last week. The Bible says he was oppressed and afflicted. And that word oppressed, behind that word oppressed, it kind of carries along with it the idea of being harassed. Harassed. So Jesus, according to Isaiah 53:7, was being abused physically. He was afflicted. And he was being abused mentally and emotionally. He was being oppressed and harassed. Psalm 22, verse number 7, is a much clearer prophecy of this. In Psalm 22:7, the psalmist says, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn." They laugh me to scorn. You have to understand. The Roman soldiers, the onlookers, no doubt the Jewish leadership, high priest and Sadducees and Pharisees and all those that are gathered around, and even those that were gathered around the actual cross as Christ hung on the cross, they all laughed at him, they mocked him, they scorned him. In other words, it wasn't just physical. They that see me laugh me to scorn, and they shoot out the lip, and they shake their heads. For the remainder of our time this morning, I want to focus on that crown of thorns. The crowning of Jesus with a crown of thorns was not incidental. It was not even accidental. Even though it was cruel mockery from diseased minds and depraved hearts, in another sense, Jesus being crowned with thorns was part of what I have called in the past the drama of salvation. And certainly, salvation from beginning to end, Christ coming, living, dying, resurrecting, and ascending, that whole thing is a tremendous drama. And while the crowning of our Savior with a crown of thorns was not incidental, it was not accidental, it was an act of mockery, it was an act that came from diseased hearts and depraved minds, it was part of that great drama of salvation. The crown of thorns has a wonderful and glorious message for us today. Now, I want to read this account from Matthew 27 before I continue. Matthew chapter number 27. And let's read verses 26 to 31. "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him a whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took off the robe from him and put on his own raiment, and they led him away to crucify him." So here we see a little fuller picture of what is going on here. And here you see that they took that reed or that bamboo and they beat the top of his head, which would have jammed these thorns deeper into his brow. Now, I want to consider a couple of things this morning. First of all, I want us to consider the mystery of the crown of thorns. In one sense, the thorns was nothing more than a cruel joke by depraved Roman soldiers. In one sense, it was nothing more than a mockery dreamed up by the diseased minds and depraved hearts of Roman soldiers. In one sense, this is just a wicked joke. Right? In one sense, this is just a wicked, cruel joke and mockery. And yet, on the other hand, there is this mystery behind it, known only to the heart and mind of God the Father. You see, thorns from the very beginning have been a symbol of God's curse on humanity. When God created man, He put man, both male and female, into the beautiful Garden of Eden, into a perfect paradise, a place with no thistles, no thorns, no brambles. If there was a beautiful rose, it did not have a thorn. If the Garden of Eden had blueberries and blackberries, they had no thorns. But then man sinned against God. He rebelled against God's commands. And then we read this. Genesis 3, 17, 18, and 19. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of all of it the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Thorns were part of the curse against a rebellious humanity. They were part of the curse against Adam and his wife Eve. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Thorns are synonymous with the curse of God against man. If man had not sinned, there never would have been a thorn, there never would have been a thistle, there never would have been a briar. But because man sinned, he was going to have to fight thorns, bristles, briars, thistles, all of this. It was going to be a part of his labor now. Jesus wore a crown of thorns, not just because some wicked soldier conceived this cruel mockery, but because Jesus bore the curse for those he died to save. Jesus wears the crown of thorns because he bore the curse of sin for us. All through the scriptures, we find wicked men doing wicked things out of their own wicked imaginations. And then we look a little deeper and we see that God is behind it after all. And while this crown of thorns jammed down on the head of our Savior was a wickedness by wicked men, it was symbolic of the curse that Jesus Christ bore for you and I on the cross of Calvary. The mystery behind this crown of thorns is that Christ is bearing the curse for us. We've already mentioned it, but there is the misery of that crown. The crown of thorns speaks of suffering and it speaks of pain. Not only was it jammed down upon his head, but as I read in Matthew's account, they beat it down with the reed. They beat those thorns deep into our Savior's brow. Blood continuing to pour out of those puncture wounds. Again, almost every painting of Christ on the cross fails to show the great trauma that he suffered. The authors, the painters, the sculptors, they do a great disservice. Number one, they shouldn't be doing it. Nobody should be painting or sculpting or drawing Christ. But they do a great disservice by putting one or two trickles of blood coming down his forehead. You remember last week I told you that Isaiah prophesied that his face, his countenance, his visage was marred more than any man. The thorns driven deep into his head would have produced great amounts of blood and caused great amount of pain. His beard being ripped off his face would have produced much blood and great pain. Being punched and slapped in the face would have produced much blood and caused much pain. And we don't know. There's things we don't know, but they may have knocked his teeth out as they buffeted him. Imagine all of the blood. Of course, to you and I, all of that shed blood is precious. All of that shed blood is precious. But imagine it mixed with dust and dirt, and then mixed with their spittle upon his face. What a horrible sight. What a painful ordeal. What a misery was this crown of thorns upon our Lord's head. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ suffered for sins, not his own sins. The Bible makes it very clear. Not his own sins. He did not suffer for his own sins. He had no sins to suffer for. But he suffered. He suffered and he agonized for our sins. Our sins. I was thinking about it on the way here this morning. Would to God that we could remember when dealing with our own sin, I'm talking about our own private sin, the sin that doth so easily beset us. When dealing with our sin and thinking upon our sin, would to God we could for a moment remind ourselves what Christ suffered and why he suffered it. He suffered it for that sin of ours. Brother and sister, the sins that are in your life that hopefully you are trying to mortify, you are trying to kill, be killing sin or it will be killing you, John Owen. But I wish that we could remind ourselves that listen, I know that our sin is forgiven. I understand that. But would to God we could remember what Christ suffered for that dear, precious, little pet sin that we hang on to. The misery of the crown. And then we've also dealt a little bit with this, but the mockery of it. The mockery of the crown of thorns. They put the thorny crown upon his head. They put a purple robe upon him. They gave him a fake scepter. And they shouted fake and insincere devotion and commitment to him. The whole thing a mockery. What they were saying was, you're not really a king. That's what they were saying. You're not really a king. You're certainly not our king. That's what they were saying as they mocked him. They were not really saying, Hail, King of Jews. They were not really saying prosperity to Christ. They were not really saying devotion to Christ. What they were saying is, you're not a king, and you're certainly not our king. Spitting in his face is further proof of their hatred and their mockery. With their mockery, they're refusing and rejecting the authority of Jesus Christ. They should genuinely be bowing before him. They should genuinely be shouting words of praise and worship and adoration. They should genuinely be kissing and worshiping him. They should genuinely be submitting to his kingship and his authority. But the truth is, men do not want God to rule and reign over them. Men do not want God to rule and to reign over them. Psalm 2 is very evident of this. Verses 1 to 3, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, that is Christ. saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Men do not want to be controlled by God. They do not want to be told what to do by God. They do not want to be under the authority of God. They do not want to obey God's commandments. That's the way that fallen, sinful men are. They want nothing to do with God. Nothing. I saw a sign one time that just seemed to express the real, true, depraved heart of mankind. And you've maybe seen it yourself. A man in some type of a throng of people. A man had a sign that said, if Jesus comes back, we will kill him again. If Jesus returns, we will kill him again. And that is the attitude of depraved, unsaved, sinful man. They want nothing to do with God ruling and reigning over them. Oh, they want a God that, like a genie in a bottle. They want a God that they can, you know, rub his bottle a couple of times and get a wish. They want that kind of God. They want that kind of God. Even the worst wicked men, when it comes right down to it, there is in the heart of every man the belief that there is a God. Now, atheists will tell you they don't believe. And it's odd that they fight so hard against someone who they don't believe exists. But here is the truth. When something tragic happens instantly and immediately and takes one by surprise, the first thing they cry is, oh God. I had someone approached me years and years ago, and they had been in an accident in that brief moment. This person said, oh God. And they came to me bothered. They said, I fear that I've used God's name in vain. They said, I was never raised that way. I never used God's name in vain. And thankfully, I had been in a similar situation years earlier. Now, you understand that the home I was raised in, Dad didn't even use he didn't even allow the Christian swearing. There was no, oh gosh, okay? There was no, darn it. There was none of that. Anything that was close was off limits. I couldn't even say, oh man. And I said to my dad, well, what am I going to say? And he said, you don't have to say anything. So I grew up like that. Did not use any cursing, no name of God in vain, nothing even slightly close. And I was coming down Tyrone Road, having been out on visitation, actually feeling good. It was raining. I was obviously going a little too fast for the conditions. And next thing I know, my car is spinning in circles. I mean, circle after circle, I'm seeing the same tree go by me over and over again. And as I look up, I see a car coming my way. And my first reaction was, oh God. And that bothered me because I'd never used God's name. And then it dawned on me. And it's proven out that way since. It's the natural inclination of the heart to cry to its creator. Men want God just to hear their prayers. They do not want to be ruled and reigned by Him. When Jesus came into the world, He came into a Roman government. He came into Greek culture. And He came into a Hebrew religion. And they all rejected Him. They all rejected Him. This was not a jeweled diadem of respect. It was a thorny crown of mockery. forth. I want us to see quickly the ministry of that crown. Jesus wore that crown of thorns because He bore our sin. He bore our curse. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Christ wore my crown of thorns. He bore my sin. He took my curse. He endured my punishment. All of mankind is steeped in sin. Every man is a rebel against the laws of his Creator. Every man rejects the authority of God. And God, on the other hand, He is holy and He is just, and therefore He must punish sin. He must punish sinners for their sin. The question is, will you pay the punishment for your sin and rebellion, or will you turn to the One who died for sinners? That crown is the crown of ministry. He bore that crown for me. He bore that curse for me. He took that punishment for me. The question is, will you take your own punishment for your own sin, or will you turn to the One who died for sinners? Will you turn to the One who wore the crown of cursing? Will you turn to the One who bore the penalty for sinful man? Listen, no sin is overlooked, and no sinner gets away with his sin. Either the sinner takes his own just and righteous punishment from God, or Jesus Christ takes it for him. You as a sinner will either be pardoned in Christ, or you will be punished in hell. As a sinner, you will either be pardoned in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will be punished in hell. Those are the only two choices. And the ministry of the crown of thorns is a ministry of mercy. It's a ministry of forgiveness toward the sinner. If the sinner will come to Christ in faith and repentance, that crown was bore for them. He bore that curse for them, for those that come to Him in faith and repentance. The ministry of the crown. And then lastly, I want us to consider the majesty of that crown. Jesus did not wear this thorny crown as a helpless victim. He did not wear this crown of thorns and die on Calvary because things got out of control. Jesus did not suffer and die because Satan got loose and started running things. All of this, from the scourging and the crown of thorns to His death on the cross, all of it was ordained by God. Acts chapter 4, 27 and 28. "For of a truth against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Christ on the cross, wearing that crown of thorns. Listen to me, brother and sister. That was not something that got out of control. Christ was not a helpless victim. That was not because Satan got loose and got a control of things and this is what he did. No, this is what God did for us. It was not incidental and it was not accidental. The great drama of salvation was planned in the mind and heart of God before the foundation of the world. Christ wore this crown of thorns not as a helpless victim, but as a sovereign majesty. He was in perfect and complete control of all the evil, all that evil and wicked men did unto Him. Many men and women have worn crowns over the centuries. Some crowns have been of great, great beauty and splendor. Some have been so laden with gold and jewels that they were actually too heavy to wear on the head. If I'm not mistaken, Richard the Lionheart had to have two men hold his head up. If that's accurate, what I read, they had to have two men hold his head up. Some crowns are of great value. You could sell them and build buildings as far as the eye could see. But there was never a crown like the crown of thorns upon our Savior's head. That, my brother and sister, is the crown of majesty. It's the crown worn by our sovereign King. He bore that curse for us. He took that punishment for us. From where the Roman soldiers stood, it was an act of torture and an act of mockery. But from where I stand, that is Christ bearing my curse and taking my punishment. And for that I thank Him and praise Him this morning. May God add His blessing to the teaching and preaching of His Word. May God bless His little flock at Bethaven. May God move our hearts with these portions of Scripture. Let's pray.